Wellness routines often fail for one simple reason, and I can speak from personal experience here. They're too complicated to stick with. Too many bottles, powders, and steps usually means they get skipped when life gets busy. Grüns is designed to simplify that. Grüns is a convenient, comprehensive formula in one delicious daily pack of gummy bears. It combines a multivitamin, green supplement, and prebiotic into one complete daily serving. Each serving comes as a daily pack of gummies because you can't fit this level of nutrition into just one gummy. It's formulated with intention. Vitamins at 100% daily value and minerals around 25% to support balanced daily nutrition. It also includes 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is 3 times the amount found in leading greens powders, and more than 2 cups of broccoli. Grüns ingredients are backed by over 35,000 research publications. Grüns is vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, nut-free, with no artificial colors or flavors, and it is HSA FSA eligible. Save up to 52% off with code HOURS at grüns.co. That's code HOURS at GRUNS.co. On this show, we cover what happens in the hardest moments, but there's another side to every story. The people who show up, the ones who run toward crisis, who stop the bleeding, who bring people back. Doctors, nurses, first responders, the people who hold the line. Most of them, they wear FIGS. Because FIGS makes scrubs designed for performance. Lightweight, breathable, with 4-way stretch and smart, functional details, like moisture-wicking, antimicrobial fabric, and pockets where you actually need them. If you work in healthcare or love someone who does, you know how much that matters. Get 15% off your first order at wearfigs.com with code FIGSRX. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX for 15% off.
Dylan was just very, very sweet. Everybody adored him. He'd sit in your lap and cuddle, and that's the way that I want to remember him.
Amanda DeBerry always dreamed of having a family.
What is your favorite photo?
My favorite photo is this one, just because he looks so innocent. You know, just really the true face of innocence.
Her baby boy Dylan and his big brother Lucas meant the world to her and to each other.
When Dylan was born, I told Lucas, you know, this is our baby, and Lucas enjoyed Dylan.
But in her effort to give her boys a safe and loving home, Amanda wound up losing Dylan and putting Lucas in the middle of a heartbreaking mystery that will change his life forever.
Love you.
Love you, Mom.
Look at this one, okay?
She's only 21, but Amanda has had to grow up pretty quickly.
That one? Okay, put a circle around that one.
And she admits to making mistakes along the way.
You had your first baby at the age of 16.
Yeah, I had Lucas at 16.
Why was it important for you to have children at such a young age?
My parents got divorced, and, you know, when I was like 13, I just, you know, I'm like, okay, well, I want to have a family.
But that ideal family life never happened for Amanda. Instead, she found herself at age 19 trapped in an abusive relationship with Lucas's father and pregnant with her third child.
You know, all these goals and all these dreams, you know, and it was hard because I felt like I failed again.
The biggest mistake is a mistake that I made.
She was too embarrassed to tell her mother, Judy Tinsley.
For whatever reason, I made my daughter feel like she couldn't come to me and say, hey, Mom, I've messed up. I'm pregnant again. I need help.
Amanda sought refuge at a shelter for battered women here in Houston, Texas, and she decided to put the baby she was carrying up for adoption. When doctors put her on bed rest, the shelter urged her to have someone else care for the boys until she gave birth. It was a decision that will haunt her for the rest of her life.
You know, I really thought when I put my kids into foster care and when I was giving the baby up for adoption, I was doing the smart thing, and it didn't turn out like that at all.
Homes of St. Mark, may I help you?
Amanda turned to the Homes of St. Mark.
Are you interested in newborn adoption?
A private foster care agency licensed by the state of Texas. The agency had what seemed to be an ideal solution.
Oh! Oh.
A couple with 17 years of experience as foster parents. Charles and Linda Forche.
Babies were always on me. It didn't matter. From the little ones to big ones. You know, they were showing love to you, and you were showing love back.
Ready, Mama?
Go.
The Forches had two sons who were adopted, and over the years took in more than 90 foster children.
Here, this is Julian. That's Dakota.
Why accept that many children into your home over all these years?
Why not? That's the only answer I can give you. They needed a place, and we had the room at the time.
Yeah. Well, I think when we got married, we said we wanted a big family, didn't we?
Yeah.
So we had it.
You did!
For us, it wasn't chaotic.
Yeah,
this was normal.
It was normal.
Charles was a technician for Southwestern Bell. While Linda stayed home and took care of the children, the Forches, once honored as Foster Parents of the Year, seemed to be the answer to Amanda's prayers.
When you saw them during the visits, did the boys seem okay?
Yeah.
You thought your children would be safe in their care?
Yeah.
But 2 months into the children's stay, there was trouble inside the Forche home, the evening of June 21st, 2001. After Lucas and Dylan had gone to bed that night, Linda went into the room and found Dylan unconscious in his crib.
So I picked him up and took him out in the front room and told Charlie something was wrong. And I happened to notice that he was a little blue around the lips. And Charlie took him and started CPR on him.
All right, 911 transfer. Go ahead, ma'am.
What's going on, ma'am?
I had a little boy that I put to bed, and I went and checked him, and he's not breathing.
Okay, sure?
Yes, he's trying to turn blue. He was crying when he went
to bed. Okay, where is he right now?
My husband's got him on the floor trying to do CPR.
Okay.
The paramedics arrived quickly, but it was too late. By the time Amanda and her mother, Judy, were called to the hospital, Dylan had died.
You know, they had all kinds of things hooked up to him. And I went over there and I wanted to hold him. But I don't even think at that point I realized that he was dead.
As I was running into the room, I said, Dylan, it's okay, Grandma's here. We're going to get you out of here. And the nurse said, I'm sorry, you know, we've done everything we can. He's gone. And he was cold. He was so cold.
Amanda and her mother were in shock.
Sorry.
And the Forches say they were just as devastated.
That night's been a nightmare. It was like losing one of her own children. I'm sorry.
I felt I lost a child that night. You know, he was my child and I lost him.
Everyone wondered how Dylan could suddenly die 1 month shy of his second birthday. The unbearable answer came 3 months later when the autopsy report was released.
They ruled it asphyxia due to suffocation homicide.
Dylan had been murdered, and Sergeant Bruce Williams says police knew who was responsible.
We think Charles Forche actually committed the murder.
Charles Forche, a man who devoted his life to taking care of children, was charged with an unthinkable crime based on the statement of an eyewitness to the murder.
What did he say?
He said Mr. Charlie put the pillow on Dylan's face.
Dylan's brother Lucas, who was only 3 at the time.
And he hurt him and we had to come to the hospital.
A little over a year later, the future of a 56-year-old man is in the hands of a now 4-year-old boy. Lucas doesn't realize it yet, but he's about to become the state's star witness as Charles Forche goes on trial for murder.
Yeah. Can you believe our country is turning 250? When it comes to furniture worthy of America's 250th birthday, Bob's has the styles all Americans want at the everyday low prices we deserve. Plus, everything is backed by glowing five-star reviews from real customers. For ultimate relaxation, check out the Sedona Power Reclining Sofa. It's a genuine leather dream with built-in charging and Bobo-pedic seats made for chilling in the AC all day. You can even grab the matching love seat and recliner. If you're hosting summer parties, the Homeworks dining set is a must-have, offering comfy Bobo-pedic seating and hidden storage in both the table and bench. For maximum flexibility, the modular Bob sectional is a customer favorite with over 1,000 five-star reviews. It features family-proof construction, wireless charging, and Bobo-pedic memory foam for hundreds less than competitors. It's just $250 per piece. It's a total steal. Celebrate the 4th at Bob's. It's where America shops for furniture.
Sometimes all it takes is one piece of jewelry to pull a whole look together. And that's exactly what Jenny Bird does. For example, sometimes I throw on a super simple outfit and then add one piece that just makes it. With Jenny Bird, you can put on one or two of their pieces and instantly feel more put together. It's the kind of jewelry that makes it look like you tried when you actually didn't. And everything works together, so getting dressed is basically effortless. They're also really comfortable and lightweight, which matters because you won't want to take them off. Even your most basic outfits feel elevated, which might have your friends asking, "Where did you get that?" They also make such a great gift, whether it's for a friend, your sister, your mom. It's one of those go-to options you know they'll love, even if you're shopping last minute. Get a free gift with your first Jenny Bird order when you shop at jenny-bird.com.
I miss you, baby boy. Keep guiding mommy through her dreams. We love you and miss you so much. Today is Dylan's birthday, and we're gonna let all these balloons go. You hold that part and I'll hold this part. We're going to say a prayer and hope they all get to him. Are you ready?
Yeah. Amanda DeBerry's son, Dylan, would have turned three today.
Everybody let him go.
Let go.
Let go. Seth.
Here we go. Look. Off to Dylan.
Look at
Happy
the balloons.
Birthday, Dylan.
Today I'm just trying not to think about Charles Forche.
This is the room that the boys were in.
Charles Forche is the man Amanda believes is responsible for her son's death. He was Dylan's foster father.
This is my leg monitor.
Now, he has been charged with his murder.
For 12 hours a day, I'm tied to this house.
And he's been waiting for over a year to go on trial.
At my age, with what the charges are, if I go in jail, I probably won't come out.
Forche is fighting for his life because of what his other foster son, Lucas, said the night Dylan died.
Lucas was just grabbing my shirt. He's like, "Mom, I have to tell you something. I have to tell you something. I have to tell you something."
What did he say?
He said, "Mr. Charlie put the pillow on Dylan's face. And he hurt him and we had to come to the hospital."
How old are you, Lucas?
Lucas repeated his story the next day in this videotaped statement obtained exclusively by 48 hours.
Charlie yelled at him. He can lay down and he put the photo on his face and the police took him to the hospital.
Well, why was Charlie yelling at Dylan?
Because he told him to lay down. He don't like that pillow for his face.
And you believed him that very first time?
Oh yeah. Kids just don't say things like that off the top of their head.
But kids do have wild imaginations, though, Amanda.
About monsters. About, you know, creepy things in their closet. Not about someone they know walking into a room and hurting their best friend.
Had a lot of fun. These were all my friends. I played with all these babies. Took care of them.
Forche's sons, Richard, 28, and Brian, 21,
say he was a great father.
Been there through everything, thick and thin.
A firm disciplinarian, but never physical.
He has a stern voice. He has never raised a fist to us, never got spanked.
You know, so many people, even at church and that, would tell us, oh, you've got a special gift. And everybody would say, oh, you're going to be rewarded in heaven. You're going to have your own special star. And I feel like, I don't know why we're going through this hell right now.
We are left with a child who was clearly murdered. He did not die by accident. He was murdered.
Prosecutor Anshu Sonny Mitchell says Forshay snapped that night because he was exhausted from working overtime, 13 days straight. She says Forshay just couldn't cope with Dylan's crying and smothered him.
Anybody's capable of snapping at any point. I mean, anything can change how you've been all along.
One thing is undisputed. On the night of June 21st, 2001, Dylan and Lucas were rambunctious and refused to settle down. A third foster child was already asleep.
Dylan was screaming, and basically I figured Lucas was aggravating his brother.
First, Linda tried several times to calm Dylan down. Then her husband went into the room and says he tried soothing the baby with a back rub.
I put my hand in the middle of his back and was rubbing his back to calm him down, and told him if he wanted to cry, cry in the pillow.
How much pressure were you applying?
Just put my hand on his back.
But what Forshay told police that night was far more incriminating. His statement reads, I flipped him over onto his stomach. I then placed my hand on the middle of his back to hold him down. Dylan was trying to get up, and I held him down. Forshay says Dylan was still crying and therefore very much alive when he left the room. Shortly after that, Linda found Dylan unconscious in his crib.
Lucas was standing next to the bed with his hand in the baby's bed, and he hurried up and jumped over the end of his bed and made a nosedive into the pillow. But Dylan didn't move. So I picked him up and took him out in the front room and told Charlie something was wrong.
I laid him on the floor and started CPR and told her to call 911.
Is it possible, Charlie, that you don't know your own strength? Is it possible that you lost your temper that night? Is it possible you manhandled the child?
No. No.
No.
No.
This is such a tough case. You have a dead child and a wonderful man.
Forshay has hired prominent defense attorney Stanley Schneider, who plans a defense that seems just too incredible to believe. He says Charles Forshay did not kill Dylan, but he knows who did. Dylan's brother, Lucas.
Are you telling me that this boy, who was three at the time, is capable of murder?
We're not talking about murder. If someone caused the death, there's a possibility it was Lucas.
His own brother?
Yeah. And I don't think it was intentional. I don't think he realized what he was doing.
The Forshays say that from the beginning of the boy's stay, they were concerned about Lucas's overly aggressive behavior. They knew Amanda had been physically abused by Lucas's father and that Lucas had seen the violence.
He has put pillows over his brother's head, pushed his brother's head into pillows.
You saw him do that?
Yes.
Linda documented Lucas's behavior in her monthly reports to the foster care agency. She even took a photo of bruises she claims were from Lucas kicking and punching her. Then one night, it was something Lucas said that had Linda especially worried.
He came in and told me he was going to kill his brother, his mother, and me. And I got on the phone and I called the agency right away.
The agency set up a meeting for the following week, but it was too late. Dylan died 2 days after Linda's frantic call.
Do you miss Dylan?
Yeah.
Yeah? But what do you miss the most about him?
I love him.
You love him.
Now the question is, will a jury believe a child so young could be so violent?
Most of the human population will be able to see that a 4-year-old child is absolutely in every way incapable of being the spawn of Satan.
I have to tell the whole story.
Downtown.
Yep.
Charles Forche, a foster father who has cared for more than 90 children, is nervously waiting to go on trial for murder.
I'm hoping that the truth comes out and I'm exonerated.
The victim, Dylan Farrar, the 2-year-old he once promised to protect. The accuser, Dylan's brother Lucas.
All right, come on.
On the other side of town,
did it rain?
Lucas and his mother, Amanda, are just as anxious.
Because he's just 4, you know, and he's scared to death.
How have you explained to him his role in the upcoming trial?
He's going to be Dylan's superhero. He's going to be Spider-Man and help out all the people of the city by being Spider-Man and telling the truth about what he saw.
We're up, seed lizard.
Lucas has been meeting with a therapist and prosecutor Sonny Mitchell to help him get ready to take the witness stand.
Lucas, do you know the difference between a lie and a truth?
I can't know the lie. I only know the truth.
Is he credible?
Lucas is credible. In my opinion, Lucas is credible. He spontaneously, within hours of his brother's death, told his mother, Charlie heard him, Charlie did it. And a year later is still maintaining exactly what he said then.
Okay, and when Charlie put the pillow over his head, Lucas, was Dylan laying on his tummy or his back then?
He was laying on his tummy.
He was laying on his tummy.
His story is consistent. He always identifies Charlie as the one that hurt Dylan.
And he put his head over his face.
And he put it.
Given what his level of comprehension was and just what a 3-year-old knows, if he did see a smothering, it would be very hard for him to explain.
Psychologist Maggie Bruck, an expert on child testimony from Johns Hopkins University, says it's always a gamble to rely on a witness who's so young.
What does it mean to tell the truth and to tell a lie?
I don't know.
We showed her the videotaped interview Lucas gave investigators the day after Dylan died.
And what happened to Dylan?
Charlie Lale let him. He can lay down and he put a photo on his face. And the police took him to the hospital and he was breathing. And mommy come in.
Was this valuable?
I think it was something to start to investigate, that this child said Charlie put a pillow over Dylan's face.
Mommy took on Dylan and she was crying. Mommy, don't cry.
Something happened.
Well, that was,
I mean, I think the child saw something. I think that child was confused about what he saw.
What happened right after he told Dylan to lay down?
He said no.
Who said no?
Charlie said no
to Dylan.
But I also think that they didn't or they couldn't help him to elaborate.
What did the pillow look like that he put over his head, his face?
He was crying.
He was crying? Who was crying?
Dylan was crying.
Dylan was crying?
He wasn't like that pillow over his face.
He didn't like that pillow over his face, so he was crying.
1 year and 3 months after Dylan's death, the trial begins. Mitchell decides to save Lucas's testimony for last. She first presents what she believes is equally compelling evidence against Charles Forche.
The cause of death was due to asphyxia due to suffocation.
Then medical examiner Dr. Joy Carter testifies Dylan could not have died of natural causes. He was forcibly suffocated.
Could this child's death have been caused in a manner consistent with pushing down on the child's head, causing his face to be pushed into a pillow?
Yes.
Two police officers say Forche's own words that night made him a suspect.
Yeah, at that point, he explained to me that they had been doing the foster home for about 20 years, and that his wife liked to tend to the younger children.
And did he tell you how he felt about that?
Yeah, he told me that he was upset with it, kind of tired of it.
Ms. Mitchell, you may call your next witness, please.
Call Amanda Tinsley DeBerry.
Then Amanda takes the stand and repeats what Lucas told her the night Dylan died.
What did Lucas say?
Lucas told me Charlie did it.
And the stage is set for the jury to hear from Lucas himself.
We need to take a short break before the next witness to get set up.
Lucas will testify sitting on a couch in a room next to the judge's chambers. The jury will watch via closed-circuit TV. At his mother's request, Judge Joan Huffman orders the news cameras turned off.
Nobody can film and nobody can record. Everybody understand the rules. Thank you.
At first, when the prosecutor questions Lucas, he answers easily. Who hurt Dylan? Charlie. What did Charlie do to hurt Dylan? He pushed on his back and on his stomach and on his face. What did he punch him with? A pillow. After he hit Dylan with the pillow, what did Dylan do? He stopped crying.
But when defense attorney Stanley Schneider questions Lucas, the four-year-old can't even remember basic details about living with the Forches, like whether or not they had a dog. Lucas's answer to many questions is a simple no or nope. And that's how he answers when Schneider asks Lucas if he had ever placed a pillow on his brother's head. After about 40 minutes of questioning, Lucas seems tired out, and the court has to take a break.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we try to plan for everything, but, you know, we just can't predict. The witness is napping.
That's never happened to me before. I've had a juror throw up during a final argument, but I've never had a witness fall asleep. That child's not competent.
Is Lucas Farrar a good witness?
No. I wouldn't have put him on the stand. Not because I think he's lying. I don't know that he has enough to tell the jury that's of value.
I thought Lucas did well. Lucas remembered what was important for him to remember.
Amanda is just relieved her son's ordeal is over.
Oh. Who's in heaven?
Dylan.
Mm-hmm. Do you like being his hero?
But the defense is about to argue that Lucas is not a hero. That in fact, he's his brother's killer.
There are people you are told to trust. Lawyers, teachers, especially doctors. But what happens when you put your life in someone's hands and they betray you? The hit podcast Dr. Death is back, and this season is unlike any other. Dr. Death the Cowboy is the story of a charming neurosurgeon who rode into Western towns selling a persona of confidence and care. He wore cowboy boots in the operating room and became sought after by patients he promised to heal. Instead, he left a trail of broken bodies. This season is about a doctor who was never truly held accountable for the patients whose lives he ruined. A story of greed, betrayal, and a fight for justice that will leave you questioning who to trust. Listen to Dr. Death the Cowboy wherever you get your podcasts, or binge the entire series right now only with Audible.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Amanda still calls Dylan her sunshine baby.
This is kind of my Dylan shrine. I feel like, you know, having all his pictures up here, it's him watching over me and Lucas.
The
This is my Spider-Man.
Lucas was a hero for Dylan, says his mom, when he testified in court.
He might have just been this little bitty boy who was Spider-Man. You know, he was a superhero, just by words, you know, if nothing else.
You're certain, without a shadow of a doubt, that the right person is charged.
I believe my son. I believe my son.
But will a jury believe young Lucas and take away a man's freedom?
I'm looking at the fact that I have 12 people who I have no idea who they are going to decide my life.
I don't know whether I could even live if he went to jail, because he's my whole life.
Okay.
The pressure is incredible. The worry. You know, I've got to figure out ways to do this, and everything has to be perfect.
Defense attorney Stanley Schneider has devised a risky plan of attack. He will accuse a 4-year-old boy of being responsible for his brother's death.
We have a very disturbed young man.
Schneider believes Lucas, despite his age, is downright dangerous.
Give Lucky a kiss.
Give me a kiss.
And we had 6 people describe Lucas putting pillows over other children's heads and cutting off the air to other children.
Do you believe Lucas is responsible for his brother's death?
I do not know, truthfully. I do not know what happened in that room after I left it.
All right.
Do each of you solemnly swear that any testimony that you may give in this...
Schneider launches his defense with Forshay's niece.
Lucas was always beating up on Dylan.
His sister.
Or pushing him down or taking a toy away from him.
And the boys' babysitters.
Lucas pushed his brother around a lot.
Lucas had a hold of him, just a death hold on his neck.
Their allegations against my son are absolutely insane.
Schneider's tactics have infuriated the entire family.
This slime ball is trying to blame a murder on a 3-year-old child. How low can you go?
Schneider is about to use Linda Forshay to score another key point of his defense.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Yes, I'm at 4215 in Janet Gate.
And it's right on the 911 tape.
My husband's got him on the floor trying to do CPR.
Okay.
What Lucas really saw that night, Schneider claims, was not a vicious murder, but instead vigorous CPR.
Double check, though. Is he breathing at this time?
No, but a lot of stuff's coming out of his nose and mouth.
Okay.
Now, when stuff was coming out of his nose and mouth, what did you do?
We grabbed a diaper that we used as a burp bib and start wiping the fluid.
According to Schneider's theory, when Lucas testified Charlie hurt Dylan with a pillow, Forshay was, in reality, wiping fluid from Dylan's face with a diaper.
Okay, pump his chest rapidly 5 times.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
When you're counting, what did Charlie do with his hand?
He was pushing during the compressions.
Where was Charlie's hand?
On the baby's chest.
Was that him patting him on the back?
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Oh,
okay?
Don't pat him on the back.
And did he ever hit Dylan on the back?
Yes, he was patting the back until they told him to stop.
When Lucas told jurors Forshay pushed on his brother's back and on his stomach and on his face, Schneider says Lucas was actually describing the frantic efforts to save Dylan.
One, two, three, four,
five. Nope.
Keep going, okay?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Nope. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Nope.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Nope.
You solemnly swear the testimony you will give in this case no trial.
Now, Charles Forshay takes the stand to speak for himself.
Was crying children in your house the norm?
All the time.
Schneider argues that Forshay was used to the stresses of parenting and could never have just snapped.
Did you ever force his head into a pillow?
No, I did not.
He was simply trying to soothe Dylan.
I put my hand on his back and his buttocks to calm him down.
That's not what it says in your written statement, is it, Mr. Forshay?
Prosecutor Sonny Mitchell bores in.
You know, you keep talking about soothing him. In your statement, you said, I held him down. You didn't say anything about giving him a soothing back massage, did you?
No, ma'am.
After caring for 90 foster children over the years, Mitchell believes that Lucas and Dylan were two children too many for Charles Forche.
Kids can get on your nerves, can't they, Mr. Forche?
You can get on my nerves. Anybody can get on anyone's nerves.
She says he was fed up with crying babies. And just wanted the noise to stop.
Tell us how you told him to be quiet.
As a general rule, probably I said, shut up and go to sleep.
And you held him down, according to your words, for about a minute.
As a figure of speech, yes, about a minute.
Next, Mitchell forces him to relive what happened that night.
I'm just asking you if, according to your demonstration, the child's face is in the pillow.
I don't know if Dylan's face was in the pillow or on the bed or not.
And that's not my question to you, Mr. Forche. My question is, in this demonstration, is yes, the child's face down?
In this demonstration, the doll's head is face down.
Mitchell scores another damaging blow with pediatric pathologist Dr. Harry Wilson.
Could a 3-year-old child have caused his death by suffocation?
Not possible. A 3-year-old child cannot and would not do that.
He says a child that age simply doesn't have the strength.
You don't know about how aggressive a specific 3-year-old might be.
To effect suffocation, to do it for 3 or more minutes, would not do that.
The truth is, Charles Forche murdered my grandson.
It's so scary. I say I don't think I've ever lived in fear or knew what fear could be like until now.
So are you feeling okay?
I'll never be the same that I was.
Got it?
But I would like to be able to live a normal life again. I'm ready for it to be over.
This case will be over soon, one way or another.
My summer schedule tends to fill up fast. I spend more time outside, and I tend to make more spur-of-the-moment plans, which means I have less time to run errands. Instacart can make it easy to get groceries and household essentials from thousands of stores in just a few taps, which means you won't have to worry about running that last-minute errand. With delivery via Instacart available in as fast as 30 minutes, it's a simple way to stay stocked without disrupting the day. Shoppers carefully select items based on your preferences, helping ensure quality produce, trusted brands, and the right items every time. It's a streamlined experience designed to fit into busy routines and changing plans. Whether it's planning ahead for the week or handling something spontaneous, Instacart enables delivery on your schedule so everything shows up when it works best for you. Instacart brings convenience, quality, and ease right to your door so you can focus on what matters most. Download the Instacart app now and get groceries just how you like.
Chime is changing the way people bank by offering a rewarding, fee-free banking experience built specifically for you. Unlike traditional old banks that hit you with monthly maintenance and overdraft fees, Chime believes you shouldn't have to pay to get your own money, which is why they provide access to thousands of fee-free ATMs. I'm always looking for ways to save on everyday purchases, especially with all the extra spending that seems to come up over the summer. Chime can make it easy to save by offering 5% cash back on your Chime card in categories like gas or groceries. Your savings will also grow faster with a 3.75% APY, which is 9 times higher than the national average. Beyond the savings, Chime offers flexible tools like MyPay, which lets you access up to $500 of your pay, and SpotMe, which allows for fee-free overdrafts up to $200. Chime is not just smarter banking, it is the most rewarding way to bank.
Join the millions who are already banking fee-free. Head to Chime.com/48hours. That is Chime.com/48hours. It only takes a few minutes to sign up.
Chime is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services from MyPay and Chime Card provided by Chime's bank partners. Optional products and services may have fees or charges. Stated annual percentage yield and cash back for Chime Prime only. No minimum balance required. Checking account ranking based on the J.D. Power survey published October 20, 2025. For more information on APY rates, MyPay, SpotMe, and travel perks, go to Chime.com/disclosures.
Defense attorney Stanley Schneider must find the right words.
The entire state's case.
What he tells the jury in closing arguments could set Charles Forche free. If he fails, Forche will be condemned as the killer of Dylan Farrar.
I need to remind them who Charlie is. A loving, caring, and giving man stands before you, charged
with murder. Why? Why would Charlie do anything out of the ordinary to a kid? This is a man who for 17 years loved children. The voice of reason, the truth about Charles Forche, about who he is, I'll tell you, there's only one verdict. Not guilty.
To acquit the defendant, you have to believe Lucas killed Dylan.
Prosecutor Sonny Mitchell argues Lucas wasn't physically capable of murder. It was Forche who killed the baby in a fit of rage.
By God, he was going to make him go to sleep. And you can bet he grabbed his head, pushed it down, and said, I said shut up and go to sleep.
In the final moments of the state's argument, Prosecutor Mitchell asks the jury to imagine the final moments of Dylan's life.
Mr. Charlie, I can't breathe. Mr. Charlie, please. Let me get up. I want to get up. Please, let me get up. Please, Mr. Charlie, I promise I'll be good. Please, Mr. Charlie, I promise I'll stop crying. That's what Dylan went through. But you can write the moral to the story. You can teach the lesson to the story with your verdict. He is guilty of murder.
Thank you, Ms. Mitchell. The jury may begin your deliberations.
All rise for the jury.
We basically went around the room and everybody said what they thought.
As the jury begins to weigh the evidence, the Forches wait, reliving the past.
I lost my life tonight.
And fearing for the future.
You're an experienced defense attorney. What does your gut tell you now that the jury has begun deliberations?
I don't know.
I've had so many people tell me it's in the bag.
What would satisfy you, Amanda?
For him to spend the rest of his life in jail.
Nothing less.
Nothing less.
In just 2 hours.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a verdict and the jury will
the jury decides Forche's fate.
Bring the jury in, please. Please be seated. Mr. Foreman, has the jury reached a verdict?
Yeah.
You may hand it to the bailiff, please, sir. We, the jury, find the defendant, Charles Richard Forche, not guilty. Signed by the jury. Sit down, please.
He's a murderer. We know he is.
Amanda and her family are too stunned to leave the courtroom.
I just felt like I was in a dream. I didn't feel like it was real.
As Charles Forche walks away a free man.
We got our life back.
It's been a year in prison. I've been in prison for the last year. And finally somebody listened to what was going on.
You can kill a two-year-old, get away with it, because you got 12 ignorant, stupid people on a jury who refuse to listen to evidence.
You know, I don't think the baby died of natural causes, but nobody's convinced me of who did it.
Jurors David Kelly, Jim Butler, and Don Schaberg sat down with us to explain their verdict.
Were you ready to accept the word of a child over an adult?
I was ready to, yes. He would have been credible to me if he could have answered Stanley Snyder's questions. He didn't.
Snyder did a very good job of saying what Lucas saw was the CPR action.
That was the most persuasive argument for you?
To me, it was.
You used the word flipped.
I believed very strongly in the defendant's guilt, and I knew
that if I wasn't successful in convicting this defendant, that Lucas was going to have to live with the fact that people didn't believe him and that people believed he had killed his brother.
Do you believe Lucas Farrar was somehow responsible for his brother's death?
I don't think he did it, and I don't think any of us thought he did it.
So if Charles Forche, gentlemen, did not kill Dylan Farrar, who did?
That was not our job, and that we were not charged with that.
That wasn't the question.
I'm asking you the question.
Our charge is to presume the man is innocent. If they can prove it beyond a reasonable doubt that he did it, then we ought to say he's guilty. And if they had, I would dadgum well say he was.
So, in the end, the boy who was encouraged to tell the truth is now sheltered from it.
Where does he think Charles Forche is today?
He thinks he's in jail. And that's what's best for him.
Why?
Because he's so terrified. I think if he knew, he would grow up looking over his shoulder, and I don't want him to do that.
I'm going to kindergarten one day.
What do you want to do when you grow up?
I want to be a policeman.
You want to be a policeman? Why? Why a policeman?
Because...
they get the bad guys, right?
Uh-huh, and they have gun pockets.
Gun pockets.
I put my gun in my...
your pocket?
Yep.
For now, Amanda hopes that Lucas will live a life more typical of a four-year-old and prays he'll always remember that he once had a baby brother.
Give him a kiss.
Charlie, is there anything you would like to tell Dylan's family?
I'm sorry he died. I didn't do it. I wish I could have saved him. I did everything I could that night to save his life.
My message to him is I know he did it.
You know what happened that night?
Yes, I do. Because my son told me, and I believe in my son.
In 2003, Amanda DeBerry and her children were awarded a $300,000 settlement from Charles and Linda Forche.
Meet your moment of calm. Primally Pure just expanded their Blue Tansy collection, and the new Blue Tansy Body Butter is already a ritual rooted in real life. It's cloud soft, it melts into the skin, and it's made from scratch with real biocompatible ingredients your body actually recognizes. Grass-fed tallow to fortify your skin barrier, mango and shea butters to replenish moisture, and beeswax for a breathable layer of protection. For mornings that feel full, for days that don't go as planned, for moments that seem chaotic, return to calm with skin that feels restored, protected, and buttery soft.